We're here celebrating your Ufruf today, and it got me thinking that it would be appropriate at this time for me to give you a blessing, a bracha, perhaps some inspirational words from the Parsha, something in which we can glean from of exactly what it would be like once you become married. So, as I always do, I open up the beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, and I find it begins, Ki Sikne Eved Ivri, talking about all the intricate details of when a person accepts upon themselves the role of becoming a Jewish male slave. That didn't sound very appropriate, so therefore I decided to close my Chumash. And after all, if you look outside, it's icy, it's snowy. I had to go to 116th to Brown's Hardware to purchase some salt for my slippery steps. And the lady, the clerk, asked, would you like 20 pounds or 50 pounds? I said, I'd like two 20-pound bags of salt. And I felt really good having the bags of salt on either of my shoulders. Felt pretty strong and proud of myself until someone walked right by me with two 50-pound bags on their shoulders. But then it got me to think. There's something unbelievable about a religion. The reason why I purchased this salt, of course, is my mailman will be walking up the steps, people that I invite into my home, and I don't want them to slip and fall and hurt themselves. But this isn't just about being nice. This is something which the Torah requires of me. In fact, we look through our entire Parsha, discusses Mili de Nezikin, all the different matters of civil and tort law. Our Parsha discusses all these different details about an ox that gores or someone falling into a pit. Now, even though I don't own an ox, and more than likely, I probably won't own one any time in my life. But the message the Torah is teaching us is that it's important to celebrate and to practice our religion, not just in our home, not just in our homes or in our shuls, but even in the street, even with our animals, our property. Everything somehow, in some way, is connected to the Torah, including this salt on my shoulders. Our religion applies to us 24/7, every moment of our lives. This includes the way we conduct ourselves, even in business. We cannot say that business is business, but even then, we must practice Jewish heritage and halacha in the workforce, which means every moment of our lives is an opportunity to serve Hashem and to be able to uplift the mundane. The truth is that this positive aspect of our religion, as unique as it is, it also has potential drawbacks as well. Rabbi Avraham Lieberman from Stamford, Connecticut, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, a man who was instrumental in teaching me the ways of being a school administrator, he would often discipline adults and children alike. Those that would come to shul, not to daven, but to talk. And they would talk habitually, continuously. And he would always tell them, depending on the audience, imagine that you were in an opera. And if it was to kids, he would say, imagine you're in a movie theater. Would you talk? Certainly not. So then, don't talk in shul. Talking became such an issue that the Miami Boys Choir actually came up with a song called Don't Talk, Just Daven, which, last I recall, is the most popular song on that album. But I have an answer to Rabbi Lieberman's question. Why is it that when it comes to an opera, and I know that no one talks in an opera, because my wife asked me to go to an opera once, and sorry dear, I'm not going another time. But at least that one time that I went to an opera, I looked around and people were dressed in a dignified manner. People sat up straight and people even the men, didn't talk. And I realized the reason why people did not talk is not because they have necessarily more respect for the opera than for God and the Beit HaKnesses, but rather because of three words. Familiarity breeds contempt. You see, Judaism is so much part of our daily lives and routines that sometimes we just take it for granted. An opera, or something we do only once in a while, we're able to muster enough courage to not talk and show respect for that thing, even an opera. Because after all, it's something so unbelievably foreign to us. Even the language, I didn't even realize it wasn't in English until, unfortunately, I got there. But I was quiet, all the way to the bitter end. But when it comes to our religion, because of its uniqueness as we find in our Parsha and Mishpatim, that every single detail of our lives, from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to sleep, the way we dress and our business, everything is connected to God and spirituality, sometimes we take it for granted. But how do we counter this problem? How are we able to, on one hand, practice as the Torah requires every aspect of our lives and connect it and intertwine it into Judaism, into our religion, and yet not to take it for granted? I believe the answer to this question is not in the first word of our Parsha, but the first letter. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. And these are the laws that you shall place before them. Anyone who is an English major would read this sentence and say this is grammatically incorrect. Because the first letter of our Parsha is a vav, a prefix, a conjunction, and these. Not only do we not start a sentence with a conjunction, this is the beginning of a chapter 21, Perchaf Aleph, and it's the beginning of a Parsha, a new section, something which is apparently disconnected to that which we learned and read about last week. Says Rashi, Rashi notices and is wondered and puzzled by this vav, this conjunction. And Rashi tells us a principle, that kol makom shenemar ele, anytime we find the word these without the conjunction, the prefix, besalas harishonim, we disconnect it from that which was before it. Ve'ele, such as in our Parsha, Mosif al-Harishonim, connects us to that which was before it. And what Parsha came before Mishpatim? But the Parsha of the Aseres Hadibros, when the Jewish people accepted the Torah and the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, on Har Sinai. Says Rashi that what happened then should not be disconnected to what happens now. Maharishonim misinai, af elu misinai. Just as the mitzvot, the Ten Commandments, were given at Har Sinai, that's something which everyone knows. Everyone remembers the episode of Charleston Heston walking down with these two tablets that no one can figure out what language they're in, but nonetheless, that was certainly Mesinai. Says Rashi, all of these laws, the Mili Din Ezekin, the matters of civil and tort law, was also given at Har Sinai. And that's the significance of the Vav. But I believe that Rashi is coming to tell us something even more profound. You see, if I had a time machine, I would go back to when the Jewish people, the Bnei Israel, received the Torah. Can you imagine for a moment the excitement, the enthusiasm of every single Jewish person present at Har Sinai? People must have been jumping out of their skin with enthusiasm. This is Ve'ela HaMishpatim. When it came to Har Sinai, we were excited. There was tremendous enthusiasm. Ve'ela HaMishpatim, the Torah is telling us that we must take that same excitement, that same love and emotion and drive that we had for the Torah at Har Sinai, and carry it forward to even the Mishpatim, even the Mili Denizikin, the matters of civil and tort law. Celebrate and observe them with the same enthusiasm, the same excitement, just as those were Messinai, Af Elo Messinai. So too we should also be just as excited. So when I'm carrying my salt, I should be jumping, assuming that I have that much strength. But the point is that I am fulfilling a mitzvah, and every little aspect of my life could be connected to a mitzvah, and I need to show that same excitement, just as the excitement at Har Sinai. Today, we are celebrating the Ofruf of your upcoming wedding. Dr. James C. Dobson once said, "You haven't found the right person if you can live with them. You've found the right person if you can't live without them." Chasson, please remember that Maimid Har Sinai, the revelation at Sinai, was actually a wedding, a chasna, between Hashem and the Jewish people. A wedding is Yom Chasanuso, is Yom Simchas Libo. A chasna is a day of tremendous joy, tremendous happiness. This, my friend, will be one of the greatest, most memorable moments of your life. But speaking from my own personal experience, sometimes one may take for granted the very things in life that we should give thanks for every day. But this is the challenge of life, and this is the challenge of marriage. We must never take anything or anyone for granted. Instead, just like at Har Sinai, just like Eile ve'Eile HaMishpatim, we must never take anything or anyone for granted, and rather learn to channel our emotions of joy and excitement, to take that experience that we're having today, the experience of a wedding, going back to Har Sinai, and transfer those emotions to your everyday life with you and your spouse. Mazel tov, good Shabbos.